hands. Breathe, O breath of God. What I saw the Lord say to me is that actually that one sentence has both a kingly and a priestly role in it. You know, and it brings, here's the kingly role, the body of Christ that we're ruling and reigning with the Lord. And we're declaring and decreeing, breathe, right? And then here is the priest singing, O breath of God, and they're worshiping the breath of God. And then here is the kingly role saying, breathe. And so I just saw that joining of that priestly role and that kingly role in that one sentence, and how that is what's happening in the earth today. And that's what we've been seeing with the victories that have come, if both the priestly and the kingly roles have merged together in the ecclesia.
Beautiful. Amen. Makes everybody bless the Lord. You all could be seated. Only if you want to. You'd rather stand? You can do that. Amen. Thank you, guys. Incredible. I just love it. I just love the prophetic nature of this band. That's just great, man. It's wonderful. We're blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Did you set these up here, Sheree? Did you set these up here?
Oh, no. I've been sick all week.
Oh, maybe I left them up here. But it's a good reminder, just to let you guys know, we do have quite a few of the Enemy Within DVD, if you'd like that. We have a couple of the Agenda 2s left. We got a deal that has my book included with that, too, that's you can get. I don't know, is that all that in the handout? Is all that in the handout, in the bulletin, the DVDs?
No.
Okay. I guess I should have said that, how much they were.
Yeah.
It's good.
Make a Christmas gift.
Amen. Is everybody doing well?
Amen.
Doing good. Interesting week we've had, huh?
Yeah.
On Wednesday evening, we discussed that, and so I'm not going to repeat everything from that, but and quite honestly, I was going to talk on something else, but I really feel like, at least as a group, as a congregation, we need to discuss, and I really would like to kind of enter into a little bit of a discussion, and if you have questions or input, I try to, you know, allow that anyway for questions and things as we go. It's so much easier to do stuff like that in a smaller group than a larger one. But I do want to, from Wednesday night, I do want to mention just a couple things that kind of stood out to me. Number one, with this election, I don't ever remember so many Christians engaged. I mean, all over the nation. They're worshiping down at Times Square. There were worship things everywhere. Franklin Graham had his 50-state tour at Capitol. I mean, there was so many different groups and different denominations were praying for this particular election. And you know what? They were praying all over the world, too. There were Israelis praying for us. I had a friend that just got back Wednesday. He just got back Wednesday, this last Wednesday, the day after the election, from Cyprus. And he's a pastor friend of mine, and he was in worship and prayer meetings with Israelis, Lebanese, and some from the Middle East there. And when he was just telling me about it, he began to weep and say, I've never been in a worship service where people were so, other people that weren't Americans, praying so passionately for this nation. Because as you know, this nation affects every other nation on the globe. And what we do here, the laws we pass here, the direction that we go has great influence on every nation around the world. And so it's just fascinating to see that kind of passionate worship and prayer all over for our nation. I think there's different perspectives and different ways you can view this whole thing. My perspective is we stopped a flood of evil. We stopped a flood of evil, and we have great opportunity right now to take advantage of what has happened politically. But I think, too, for the body of Christ, we have a great opportunity and advantage to be engaged. And I'll talk just a little bit about that. But I want to mention something from Wednesday, too, that I actually completely forgot until I believe it was Pam that reminded the group that happened. And the reason I want to mention this is because it's the power and the authority of the ecclesia in prayer. Now, before I mention this, I don't want anybody ever to get the wrong impression that we're exclusive, we're some kind of, you know, exclusive group of some sort, or, you know, God only hears our prayer, or we're elite in any kind of way compared to others. I don't ever want anybody to think that. And that's why, one of the reasons why I mentioned that people are praying all over the world. And who knows what other people are praying. And when people are praying in the Spirit, they don't even know what they're praying, but in alignment with the Lord. And so, and the reason I want to mention this is not just for the election, but I really want you to hear this with your spirit of how powerful this is. We talk about it a lot, but the principle of how powerful this is in prayer. Okay? And when I say prayer, I'm just talking about communication with the Lord. So I'm just not saying giving our requests to God. It's communication. We're listening and we're speaking. Listening and speaking. Prayer is communication. It's two-way. But the Wednesday evening ecclesia meeting that we had prior to Tuesday's election, we received a word from the Lord. I heard it clearly from the Lord to specifically call out specific states. You got those of you that were here, if you remember that on Wednesday. And everybody was engaged in that. And we prayed, and here's what I want to say about that. When God will speak and give direction in prayer, prophecy, and legislation, then within the direction, He will release specifics if we will listen. Okay? So what I heard was, let's start calling in, let's start speaking and declaring over certain states. We were obedient to that, and then it's specific which states, and then what to say over which states. This is powerful. This is how God's will gets in line. And do you know that we prayed for every one of the swing states that was actually turned, that people, pundits all over, didn't even think that it was possible for Trump to win? Now, I'm not saying that we're exclusive in any kind of way. I'm just talking about the power of specific pointed prayer, decrees, and legislation. It is extremely powerful what the Lord is doing in this day with ecclesia, the understanding, with the governmental authority and power that He wants to release when we're in line with Him. It's not about praying whatever we want. It's not about praying for our will. And let me tell you something, prayer, and sometimes Wednesday night even, I'm wholeheartedly in ecclesia, wrote a book on it, talk about it all the time. It's not easy all the time. There's a lot of times Wednesdays I don't want to come. I'll just be honest with you. There's a lot of times I get bored with it. I'm just being honest. I just want to be honest with you. I get tired of it sometimes. It's not all the time, but sometimes. I can always find something else to do. Isn't that true with everything? But I am so convinced, because we're not to be moved by how we feel or our schedule. It's by what the Lord is saying to do. And I just know that's what he's saying for me, and how powerful. Whether it's one or two of us, 50 of us, 1,000. It's what is God saying, and get in line with that. And it's the people that are in line with the will of God in prayer and action, because it takes both. Prayer and action. People putting their hand to the plow. Bleh. It's those types of people that are going to change things. Hello? It's those types of people that are going to change things. I have a few things. I'll say this too. Like I said, it's what happened. We really stopped a real flood of evil, but the battle's not over. The war's not over. I want to be really careful. I'm trying to find words for this, because I know sometimes, you know, not that many, but some people listen to our services and they get a little not understanding what I communicate sometimes. Sometimes I say things in this congregation because I'm pretty confident you understand for the most part what I'm saying, but some people don't. And it's not about a political war. It's not about our favorite politician. It's really, to me, it's about the will of God for this nation. And it's about freedom. I don't think there's anything greater speaking about our nation other than freedom and liberty. Now, why is that important? Because God created us for freedom. It's God's creation. He created us to be free. And I don't want to talk about this real long, but just, so to me, it's about freedom and it's about stopping government control. And it, like I've been talking about for the last 6 weeks, for us, for believers, the Lord and his ways and purposes ought to be the most important thing in our life, and how we orient our life and affect our decisions and affect everything that we do. But for the citizens of our country, government has most of the say. It affects everybody's choices and decisions every day, all day long. Even you driving here, you have to have a license. You have to pass a particular thing. You have to drive on the particular side of the road. This is all governmental law. You have to abide by the speed limit, or you're at least supposed to. The yield signs, the stop lights, everything on a daily basis down to the very... you work every day to pay taxes. Now, that's not the priority. The priority is to take care of yourself, put a roof over your head, and food on the table. But you're working, you're paying taxes, and that's a government decision. So many things are controlled by government, of whatever nation you live in, of the lives of every citizen in that nation. I don't think the Christians even think of it like that. That's why it's so very important. And so it's about freedom, because freedom is the way God created us to live, and freedom unlocks the human spirit. It releases creativity. It releases a prosperity that you cannot have in any other way. It releases entrepreneurship. It just releases part of our created being in such a way that we can fulfill the destiny and be who God's created us to be in a nation, in a civilization, like nothing else can. That's why it's so important. Freedom and liberty. Jesus said this, at the words from his own mouth, John 10:10. I have come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. The life is the freedom to live. Freedom requires responsibility. It also requires respect. It requires that I respect the freedoms and liberties of another. That I respect and honor their property, what belongs to them, and their own creativity, entrepreneurship. So it requires a respect. I want to address and talk about, and we can talk about this if you want a little bit. Our nation, and I've been saying this for a number of years, and I'll just go from the election of 2000, this century. Our nation is so divided right down the middle. And each election has been showing that over and over. And our election this way. See, I have heard this week, that the election has caused division. No, it didn't. It revealed divisions. You know where the word division comes from? It comes from two words. It means two visions. Two visions, die and vision. It's two visions. And two visions can't function together when one is going one way and one is going another. And so the election that we had, the presidential election, this has been a bizarre reaction that we are seeing all over our nation to the election, which shows me of how much, there's several things, but one of the things is how people don't understand the Constitution and want to see it annihilated. But it also reveals in a very big way of the, what was that? Yeah, that's part of the Constitution. They don't understand the Electoral College. But it's the heart condition. Now, here is where I'm at with this. Because, and I've mentioned this before, I love this nation. I was in the military. I would give my life for this nation. But my first priority is the kingdom. Jesus said, seek first as a priority the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And so therefore on earth, I'm very passionate about where the body of Christ is. And I said this last Sunday just before the election of how Christians have voted. I showed you that on the overhead on the last few elections and how many Christians alone. Because what? God said, we are salt and light. He didn't say people are salt and light. He said, my people are salt and light, which means we are the ones that bring light, which is truth, into darkness. We are the ones that push back darkness. We're the ones that spread light. We're the ones that bring up preservation like salt does, a preserving of citizenry and of culture. That's our job, to be salt and light. And so I'm so impressed with the reaction of the body of Christ in this election, but I'm also extremely concerned. Because not only are we seeing a division in the country, there is a sharp division in the body of Christ over this election. Did you have something, Jay? Yeah. No, I haven't seen all that yet. All of that too, it's, you know, and I don't think I made a strong enough comment about this last week. I think I did, is those are coming from exit polls, and so exit polls can fluctuate, but I haven't seen those numbers quite yet. One thing is all the numbers from the election haven't come in yet. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Really, really good. That's just incredible, really. Since we're on numbers, I don't know if you've been paying any attention. All the numbers haven't come in yet, but Hillary Clinton is winning the popular vote by almost 631,000 votes. But Trump won the Electoral College. But just to put that a little bit in perspective, in the year of 2000, do you guys remember that? I mean, that was 16 years ago. I mean, that was the most craziest election, you know, ever. And it was so close. Now, I think five times in the United States history, a president that did not win the popular vote but won the Electoral College. But two of them, twice it just happened in the last five elections. So prior to the year 2000, it was 112 years before it ever happened. So George Bush lost in 2000, lost the popular vote by some 540,000 votes, but he won the Electoral College. Does anybody off the top of their head happen to know how many he won or how he won the Electoral College? Like what the spread was? Five Electoral College votes. Really, the election came down to Florida. And it really came down to 537 individual votes in Florida that swung the election. That's how crazy it was. Now, this year, like I said, right now, all the tally's not in. But this morning when I checked, Hillary Clinton is winning the popular vote by almost 631,000 votes. But she's lost the Electoral College by a lot larger margin than Bush. I think, what is Trump has 290 and she has 228, I think is what it is. Huh? Is he at 3 something? Last I checked just this morning, he was at 290. So if somebody else has another, because Michigan hadn't come in yet, and neither has New Hampshire from what I saw. But regardless, it's close, and regardless, there's a popular vote, and there's an electoral college. And my point in all this is how divided our nation is. And it hasn't changed for a while. And my real concern is how divided the body of Christ really is on this. I think I need to share something. I've really been hedging on whether to share this or not. Well, let me preface it by this. God, I really don't believe in coincidences. I believe that when you're going about your day and the things that you see or the things that you hear, that there's purpose in that. And I believe God's hand is a lot of times in that. But the things that we see and the things that we hear, since I believe God's hand is in that, I don't believe he shows it to us for the purpose of criticizing or condemning, but the purpose of interceding, to standing in the gap and bringing some reconciliation, restoration. And for instance, personally, I don't believe the Lord shows us personally sin in our life so he or others can make fun of it, that we can just be overcome by it, but that we would repent and change. If you have something going on in your body that you're not aware of, some disease or some sickness, and you have let's just say there's some spot in there, and you have an x-ray or an MRI, and that image shows you, hey, there's something in there. Do we get mad at the x-ray machine or the MRI? No. We see it, and then we take appropriate action to change it. Okay? You with me so far? And so when God speaks or he shows you something, it's that we'll change and that we'll come into alignment. God created our bodies to feel that, so we would feel pain, because when we feel pain, physical pain, what's that telling us? Something's not right. Right? He doesn't do it just to do it, just to, hey, I want to get them. Ah, I want to make them squeal. No, we feel pain in our body because it's revealing to us something's not right. And that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm feeling, and that's what I'm sensing in the body of Christ. There's a bunch of pain. Something's not right. Now, that being said, what I'm about to share with you is not to condemn, it's not to criticize. Because if we don't know there's a problem, we just go about our life thinking everything's rosy. At some point, that problem's going to get bigger if it's not addressed. Because if we're salt and light in the nation, then God wants to use us to bring reconciliation and healing and transformation between peoples, people groups, the nation, you know, the seven mountains, all of this. Okay? So, and Brenda, I'm just going to share a little bit from our meeting. If you had something that you would like to input, but I'm not going to share everything, but Brenda and I, this is not a meeting between her and I, but her and I went to a meeting Thursday. It was a Thursday and Friday, but we were there for Thursday. And a lot of the focus specifically was on racial healing. Now, this is not just a meeting. This is a meeting of, and it's not just a meeting of Christians. It was a meeting of church leaders. So many pastors and ministry leaders were in this gathering. And so Thursday evening, there was a big kind of sat in a big round circle, and it was really focused on race specifically and the race issue. Now, here's kind of something that really kind of shocked me. is it was also about the election. And it was about the fear that people are perceiving. Now, we see that in the world, right? We see that happening, and there's, you know, rioting and protesting in cities all over, and you got bizarre stuff being said on, you know, social media all over the place. But quite honestly, I wasn't really expecting it at this meeting. I really wasn't. I thought we were going to talk about race, but it all was revolved. Not all, but a lot of it, wouldn't you say, was revolved around the election and how a certain group of people in this meeting of leaders were afraid now because Trump was president. And I'm trying to figure this out, quite honestly, because, I mean, who are we really serving? That's, you know, are we serving our government or are we serving the Lord, the King of Peace? Because even if Hillary became president, we should not be scared. Let me read you a passage, just came to mind here this morning. It's in Philippians, and I've mentioned this several times before. It's Philippians chapter 1, if you want to look at it later. Verse 27 says, "Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now, there was tons of persecution going on and such. But verse 28 is a powerful passage. It says, "In no way be alarmed by your opponents." In no way. What is he saying? In no way be in fear by those who are opposing you. Which is a sign of destruction for them. In other words, this is so awesome, that when I stay in peace, when you and I stay in peace, regardless of our opponents, regardless of our opponents, what they're doing, it is a sign, our peace is a sign of destruction for them. Is that powerful? I mean, that's just so powerful. But and it's also a sign of salvation for you. I mean, that passage right there today was just a great sermon, just that. During this meeting, this came to mind, and I shared it with two different leaders. And I shared it here, but I don't know if I did it on a Sunday or not. It might have been a Wednesday. A psychologist years ago, everybody heard the term "in the zone." You know what I mean by that? I think it came mainly from a sports illustration of athletes being in the zone where they just seem like they go beyond their own talent and they're just, you know, hitting it and nailing it. And we've used that term for a lot of things, just being in the zone. Well, there was a psychologist that studied that for 20 years. He wanted to figure out what got, you guys remember this? Sure. Okay. Few of you. A psychologist wanted to figure out how did these athletes get in the zone? He studied it and researched it for 20 years. You know what he found out? He said he didn't know. He goes, "I don't know how or what it takes for these athletes to get into the zone, but," he said, "I can tell you how they get out of it. Fear and anger." Fear and anger. Now, I relate in the zone of being in that place of peace, being in that place of rest with the Lord. There's two things for sure. I mean, there's other things. Sin will get you out. But two things will get, when you get into fear or you get into anger, takes you right out of it. So back to this meeting. And again, I want to say, I'm not saying this. I don't want to criticize or condemn. It's just I want to kind of reveal to you there's a lot of work left to do in the body of Christ and the body of Christ in our city, because it's really divided. And I think I was just so shocked by some of the things I heard on Thursday. And I know Brenda was too, of some of the, how divided some leaders really are. And I'm not going to share everything, but one of the things that, because I almost couldn't believe I even heard it, but one of the things in this roundtable things that came out was a man made a comment and he said, I saw a picture, I think it was a relative that sent him, of Donald Trump when he was a young boy in the middle, I think it was in the middle of his parents on either side, and his parents were wearing hoods, KKK hoods. And then he said, and I know that Donald Trump is going to have men at the White House wearing hoods, and I know they're going to be burning crosses on the White House lawn. Folks, this is not something I read on social media, some whacked out garbage. This is not something I heard from somebody at work or in the neighborhood. I heard this from a man I've known for a long time, and he's a pastor of a church in our city. And nobody refuted it. This is shocking to me, guys. Shocking. But did I accurately portray that, Brenda? I am so glad you were there, because sometimes I think so differently than so many other people. Sometimes I'm like, am I crazy? Am I just out there? So I was bouncing things off of her from time to time. And since it was a racial thing, she's got a perspective being a black and a woman that I don't have. There were some other just crazy, crazy things. Now let me dovetail this into it, because, and guys, we've talked a lot about what I'm about to say too, but sometimes I can't remember if it's been Sunday or a lot on Wednesday. We have to be very, very careful about the things that we're reading and the things that we're listening to, because the social media is a great, great place to accomplish some things, but it's also a cesspool. And just because I've had even some, I would call prophetic friends, not in this state, share things with me because they heard them from somebody else that they trusted that got them from somewhere else that wasn't based in truth. And sometimes we're so quick when we hear news or we hear things that we want to get it out there without validating it. I've made a couple mistakes myself. I'm not blaming everybody. I'm just saying we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful too, especially right now, I believe, my opinion, because we have a nation that's so divided, and God wants us to heal and not keep causing more division. So often in the body of Christ, what Christians do a lot of times, I've done it countless numbers of times. When I have a perspective, when I have a belief system, I have looked for scriptures to validate what I already believe. Very dangerous. Yeah, I've done it. You've known me long enough to know I've done that. And what is going on too now is people are looking for whatever news outlet is saying whatever that validates their point and jumping out and getting it out there. It's very dangerous. It's very hurtful. It's very... Look, as the body of Christ, does anybody remember, you know, the scripture? What is the very first piece of armor that we are to put on, of God's armor? It's the belt of truth. The belt is the only piece of armor that goes around the whole body. It is also it's the piece of armor that other pieces attach to. The scabbard for the sword, the lower portion of the breastplate. If we're not going to be based in truth, I mean, when I heard that statement, I'm like, this guy's not even, he's not even on the same planet. He's not in reality or truth at all. We got to seek the Lord on this. This is so, and that was just one example. That was probably the most radical. I would say that was the most radical example. But there's other examples from that but here's good. It's just like I mentioned earlier, when you have an MRI or an X-ray and it says, okay, you've got a problem, now you're aware of the problem. Now you can do something about it. See? When we're aware of problems, now what's the appropriate response to the issue, to the problem, to what God is showing us, what we're seeing? Because we've got a younger generation out there that, my opinion is we're seeing the effect in a big way. And please, parents, don't take this in condemning in any kind of way. I'm not meaning it be condemning. I'm going to speak as a whole, as the whole of the nation, but in a very real way, a lack of parenting. I mean, God gave children to parents. He didn't give them to the schools. He didn't give them to the government. He didn't give them to society. It does not take a village to raise a child. It's a lie. God gave children to parents. And so when we make these statements like, well, they just don't teach that in school anymore, it's not the school's responsibility. Well, this or well, that. Or they don't do it. Look, I was a youth pastor for 9 years before we started this. I had parents even back then expecting me to teach their child to be Christ-like. Look, I told them, I said, and we had two services a week, Wednesday night and Sunday. I said, look, I got your kid for 4 hours max a week. All I can do is enhance what you're doing at home. That's all I can do. I can't do it here either. All I can do is share. We've got, what, a couple hours on a Sunday? Those of you that come Wednesday, we've got another couple hours there. It's not the church's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility to feed anybody. This whole shepherding and I got to go because I'm not getting fed or I need to get fed. Look, you need to be taught how to feed yourself. That's a perverted look, comes from a church mentality. I'm sorry, I'm kind of on a soapbox and I'm trying to control myself. I really am. I'm very disturbed. I've got a ton of hope because God is the God of hope. We got Thanksgiving coming up. I mean, we heard it at the conference. There was the leader of the conference even said, and he said this weeping, he said, because of the election, I've got friends, and these are leader friends that are unfriending one another on Facebook because of the comments. We need to be very careful of the stuff we're putting out there. We need to speak the truth, but speak the truth in love. Sometimes I put some kind of radical things out there, but I try to be very measured because I know my pastor friends that don't talk about it at all are watching what I say. And looking at what I say that's out there, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Now, I do want to say something about it, that I don't expect you to do what I do, okay? So don't take it like that. All I'm trying to say is let's just be careful of how we communicate things, because if we really want to be the salt and light and we want to see reconciliation and restoration, some of the stuff I saw this last week too in this meeting was, you know, it's like, let's just say Russ, you know, is having a hard time or, you know, going through some kind of issue and he's looking for some help. It's one thing to come and to console and to be with there and then encourage. You know what the word encourage biblically actually means? To call alongside of the way of the Lord. It's not to make somebody feel better in their sin. It's not to make somebody feel better in their lousy condition. It's not good enough just to come and console Russ. It's, how can I help? Not just saying that, but think, how can I help Russ get over his fear? We got people that are in fear, but it's unsubstantiated in our nation. If I had a child and that child was in fear because they thought there was a monster under the bed, what would I do? Just, oh, yeah, I know there's a monster under there and I don't like it either.
It's big and ugly in there.
But I want to tell you, am I right that some of this was coming across like how to reach out to people? I'm just so bizarrely, you know, like I couldn't believe this. My first thing is what's causing you to be afraid? What is it that's, what about Trump being a president is causing you to be afraid? And let's talk about that and help lead people into truth. Let's take a look at that picture with Trump and his parents in a KKK thing. And I'll show you how it was doctored. Instead of just, oh, I'm so sorry. It's just, you know what I'm saying here? I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like I'm on a different planet. It's just, I really do. It's like, wow. Are we, I have one more thing I'd like to share, but if we could do this, I want to do something a little differently. All right. I want to do something that I don't like to do a lot of times when I'm in groups. I would like for you to get into groups of 4, 5, 6 people, something like that. And I want to ask you 2 questions, and I'd like for you to talk about those 2 questions. I'm going to give you 10 minutes, and then let's. I want to hear what you come up with. Is that okay? Can we do that? Even if you don't like it, is that all right? I want you to, so go ahead and get in groups, and I'll tell you what the question is. Just if it's somewhere by you or near you or something like that, and it doesn't have to be exact. If at least 4.
We.
It's on. It just needs to, yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I have this mic right here. She has this mic. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, we are. Here we go.
Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we were talking about the division as far as being divided. As you said, most division is based on fear and just the unknown. And, I mean, with both of them, it's just loving the people through it. I mean, just seeing past the differences, you know, of different individuals and just, you know, loving them through it. Not, I mean, some things we have a solid foundation on some things, and some things we cannot ignore. Some things we're just going to have to stand on and not ignore it. But basically, I mean, what we come up with was just loving them through it, you know, and yeah, getting involved in their life. I mean, we can witness to a lot of people, but if you're not involved, we're not involved in their life. I mean, it's just like, oh, you know, the Lord, blah blah blah, and all this, and see you later, alligator, you know. But if we don't get involved and get to know them personally. I mean, most of it's just thrown away because people need to know they're loved. They need to know they're cared about. They need to know that there's people that's going to stand up for them and stand beside them.
Yeah. So you have a relationship. You earn the trust to speak.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent.
And
thank you.
It.
Hey, let's just for sake of time, let's just stick on the first question, if that's okay. The division.
I'll do it because she's afraid to. Now, our main theme again comes down to loving people. You know, people act differently out of anger or out of fear, but it's because of ignorance, and ignorance is just the lack of knowledge, and they need to be taught. We talked about that. They haven't been taught, especially the younger generation. And obviously, Christ has been removed from society. It's been removed from our schools. So the focus is, again, love and Christ in the situation, and to shed light where it needs to be shed. Because where there's light, darkness can't function or remain. So that's what we came up with.
Excellent. Good.
And also
only one person, sorry.
And also about compassion, because sometimes, because they don't know, we still need to be compassionate in our relationship of knowing where they're coming from and how they were upbrought and the different things that are going on in their life. We still need to have that compassion.
Good. You want to? Can you give that mic to this group here? Joshua.
Produce truth and facts, and it will help reduce ignorance for the media that's obviously producing false facts.
In other words, to help people discover truth, you know, to let them ask questions and ask them why they believe things, and then to help people, and this is the divisive one, and to, like Josh said, to help them discover truth. Well, let's discover it together. Let's go on a journey together and actually join with people and be kind and loving and tolerant.
Amen. Great point about the media. We have a great opportunity to get something accomplished with the media right now too. Oh, the Kev.
We talked about disbelief, and the problem with, you know, telling people that don't believe and telling people that don't agree with us politically or whatever, we can't use scripture because they don't believe it anyways. So we talked about living Christ-like. Mm. We talked about walking out what we need to do as Christians and showing them what we believe. Because if we don't do that, there's no way that they're going to figure out what we believe, because they don't believe it anyways. So, and we also talked about, was it, that's all right. But anyways, that's good for now.
That's great, man. Very, very good. Everybody here, this group, who's the spokesperson?
We talked about how coming into different areas of influence with the spirit of reconciliation, but bringing salt and light into the different arenas, because we're reconciling them, kind of like piggybacking on what he said, the biblical principles. We don't have to be quoting scripture, just being rooted in the word of God and bringing biblical principles to the situation, and reclaiming back territory that we have been absent in or have abandoned, and take ground that we've lost.
Good. Very good. You can hand the mic to that group, unless you're it.
Again. pretty much, it's like I've heard some other people say here, it's all rooted in fear. It's all rooted around fear. And a lot of that comes from an identity crisis of not knowing who you are. And the whole thing about that is, when you don't know who you are and you're opposed or you're approached, then you get offended. Mm-hmm. And when you get into the spirit of offense, then you go into defensive mode. So everything that you are, your identity in Christ and what you believe in, goes out the window, because now you're stuck defending yourself. So we talked about this, and that Matt kind of said something too. I had come out with it, but he kind of nailed it. Perfect love casts out fear.
Amen. Excellent.
So if that love of Christ is within us, then that's what we need to exhibit, is that love of Christ, which will deter the fear, which will deter the offense, which will promote truth, which will promote reconciliation and unity. And that's what needs to happen.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you, guys. That was really, really good that you guys got together and discussed that. Just really quick, I just want to kind of wrap it up a little bit. One of the things, and Brenda had mentioned it too, that I was just going to share, is I think this election, not only did it reveal heart conditions, but it's that word offense of, there is a lot, people are offended already. You know, you can hide your offense and cover it up for a while, but situations, something's going to reveal it. And Jesus even said that many would fall away, which really means to become offended. In the last day, this is a scripture. It's just been kind of going off on in me all week long. It doesn't really have anything to do necessarily, specifically with the election or with the conference I was at. I just want to share this with you guys. Everybody knows the story of David, right? David, you know, this is in, you can look at it later in 1 Samuel 17. And David obviously became a great king and a great warrior. And he was a lover after God's own heart. Yes, he made mistakes. Yes, he wasn't perfect. But he had a repented heart. He had a heart after the Lord. And a lot about David's life is very interesting. You know, he was rejected. He was not even thought of. He most likely, the Psalms kind of bring this out, that his mother was a prostitute. That's why she's not spoken of, and he was kind of forgotten about and rejected. But as you know, when the Israelite army was facing the Philistines and the giant Goliath, remember that story, and how nothing was being accomplished except the giant was out there tormenting and, you know, with words. And the Israelite army was basically shuddering in fear. You can never, I'm completely convinced of this, you can never overcome any giant in your life or any giant in this nation by focusing your attention on the giant. That does not mean that you ignore it like it doesn't exist. Joshua and Caleb were great at this as well. When the other spies said, oh, well, they're giants, we are like grasshoppers, the way they saw themselves in comparison to what was going on, that already was a defeat. They were defeated. And Joshua and Caleb, and I'll paraphrase, yeah, there's giants, but God said it's ours, so we're going for it. They're giant Goliath, big, strong, big mouth, two big armies facing each other. And nothing's being accomplished except he's getting his way just of speaking day and night, day and night, day and night. David's father, because David didn't go to the battle, but David's father said, David, I want you to go to the battle and I want you to take some food for your brothers and some cheese to the commanders. So David loads it up, takes off early in the morning, and that's kind of where we're picking up the story. David arose early in the morning and left the flock with a keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. Went as his dad commanded him. Jesse is his dad. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Take note of that. They're shouting a war cry, but there's no war. Hello, but nothing's happening. Shouting a war cry. They're dressed for battle. Yeah, yeah, but nothing's happening. There's no battle. They're just facing each other, and a giant is standing in the middle of them, taunting them. Okay? He came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Now, this is the scripture that I want you to hear, and I'm just going to ask you to take this to heart for you personally. Now, remember, David shows up, and he's got food, he's got cheese, he's got bread, he's got stuff from who? His dad. But notice what the Bible says here. David left his baggage. David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper, and he ran to the battle line. And he entered in order to greet his brothers. Who was the baggage from? His dad. And you can't carry baggage into the war. There could be lots of war cry going on. There could be lots of battle dress. There could be lots of lining up army against army, but nothing happening. Until David runs in and he leaves his baggage. You remember? They even tried to give him more baggage, another armor. He leaves his baggage. He runs to the battle line. And if you read this further, David does not focus on the giant. His focus and his attention, it's not on the fear of the armies. It's not even on himself, who he is, what he can do. Hey man, I just came to bring some food. I'm out of here. No. His focus and attention was on the Lord. And the Lord gave him, because his attention and focus was on him and he left his baggage, he gave him strategy. I mean, a rock and a sling, guys. It doesn't take much. We don't need everybody in the body of Christ to get in a line. James 5 says that Elijah was a man just like us. And he prayed that it wouldn't rain. For 3.5 years, it didn't rain. It didn't rain until he said it was time to rain. And of course, he got that from the Lord. But the Bible goes on to say in James chapter 5 that Elijah was just a man. He was a man just like us, which proves that the fervent prayer or the effective, I like that better, New American Standard, the effective prayer of a, meaning one, righteous man can do much. Your prayer, when it's in line with the voice of God, His will, that's an effective prayer. An effective prayer is according to the will of God. When you pray it, one person, you don't have to go get 14 friends. We don't have to get the whole congregation. We don't have to get everybody in the body of Christ all across our nation. One person. That's powerful. Powerful. You guys are a blessing. Thank you so much for who you are. Thank the Lord for who He is. He's such a friend to us, a lover of our soul, the brother that sticks closer than a friend. He loves us so deeply. He cares for us. He is affectionately, passionately in love with us. And He has strategies and wisdom that He wants to release to us, that He would navigate through all of the pitfalls. God, we thank You for that light has been shown in our nation. God, we ask for healing, Father, of our nation, that there wouldn't be two visions, God. God, especially in the body of Christ, that so many that are offended, that are hurt, pastors and leaders that we heard this week, Father, that God, that their eyes would be open, their heart would be receptive. God, I thank You that You've already released healing, physical healing, like the children's bread, emotional healing, mental healing, that is part of our inheritance. So each person that is sick this morning and right here in this room, not feeling well, God, I pray that release a word. It only takes a word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. We will have Wednesday meeting this coming week, but the week before Thanksgiving, we will not. One of the things that I would like to do as a congregation specifically, but not limited to on Wednesday, is start to focus a little bit on our congregation for healing. We have people in our body that are dealing with some sicknesses and diseases and different things. And I want to really kind of hone in on that. And let's hear from God and some healing. Did you have some? Oh, just waving. Bless the Lord. Amen. Well, get out. I mean, what are you doing? Just